You're about to listen to a podcast brought to you by 3CR Community Radio. Each week, hundreds of volunteers put together programs that you just don't hear anywhere else, talking about the issues that matter to you. So please support us during our 2012 Radiothon, which runs from June 4th to 17th, by calling 03 9419 8377 or make a donation online at 3cr.org.au. We hope you enjoy this podcast and thanks for your investment in keeping independent community voices on air.
Asia Pacific Currents.
News and labour issues from the Asia Pacific region.
We strongly condemn the police that arrest the protesters.
Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock.
On Community Radio 3CR.
Workers of the world should unite to fight this greedy capitalist.
Brought to you by Australia Asia Worker Link. Good morning and welcome to Asia Pacific Currents. It's 1 minute past 9 o'clock here on Community Radio 3CR. I'm Giselle Hannah, and partway through the program I'll be joined with Pierre Morrow, who's the other presenter of Asia Pacific Currents. And of course, this program is brought to you by Australia Asia Worker Links. And if you want to get in touch with us, you can ring us on 9663 7277. You can find us on the web, all the w's dot aawl.org.au. And of course, you can email us at aawl@aawl.org.au. We're on Facebook and we're on Twitter and you can follow us there. So coming up on today's program, we'll have an interview that Pierre Morrow conducted with Farouk Tariq from the Labour Party of Pakistan. And Pierre will be here shortly to introduce that particular story. But of course, first up, news from around the region. More than 10,000 teachers and principals, members of the Australian Education Union, staged their biggest ever stop work rally on the 7th of June in this year. The rallies overwhelmingly supported a resolution to stage further stop works and impose bans and limitations if the Victorian state government refuses to budge from its offer of a 2.5% pay increase a year, which is a pay cut in real terms. Further, no progress has been made on the major issue of class sizes, workload, or the high level of contract employment. Not only that, the government is proposing a system of payment by results, which would divide teachers and set principals against the staff. In Indonesia, last month, Australia Asia Worker Links reported that over 10,000 paper workers in West Java, Indonesia, had won major wage increases. Unfortunately, the management of PT Pindo, Delhi, has refused to honour the agreement that has that was reached following the short two-day strike in May. The Paper Workers Union has now called for a two-week strike that started on the 4th of June. If you want more information about that particular dispute or you want to support those workers, you can go to our website for more information. The South Korean government's repression against the migrant trade union and its officers continues. The migrant trade union has been at the forefront of many struggles in the last few years to defend the rights of migrant workers in South Korea for better pay, conditions, and the right of residency. Most recently, the South Korean Immigration Service has denied former MTU President Michelle Katura re-entry into South Korea. In addition, the Supreme Court case in relation to the MTU status has been pending for over 5 years now, and the South Korean government refuses to recognise that union.
Thanks, Giselle. And just a couple of quick reports just on the news that you just reported. I mean, first the Indonesian one, the paper workers, we actually reported that, I think, a couple of weeks ago, and it was reported in a very... optimistic light and very happy light, because they'd gone on strike for 2 days and basically had won everything they asked for, including 18% pay rise. And now it comes that they've, the company has reneged on many of those agreements. So, and I think it's great to see the comrades in Indonesia saying, well, 2 days didn't work, we'll go for, out for 2 weeks. So we'll certainly keep a lookout for that in the next few weeks. And also the Korea and the about the migrant trade union, that I mean, that's a fantastic initiative in South Korea that our comrades have organised for the last half a dozen years, I think, and that's been really important to organise migrant workers. But as you said, they've just faced constant repression, and one of the ways that the government does it in South Korea is deporting the presidents as they get elected. I mean, it's just a beyond belief what they do. But anyway, but it's great to see that they're still fighting. As the saying goes, if you don't fight, you lose. And which really takes me to the next one on the other side of Asia, in West Asia, where we don't really hear much about, especially now, but in Yemen, what we've heard is that the uprising in Yemen over the last couple of years has often been reported as a fight against dictatorship by disaffected regional and religious groups. What has not been reported as much is that many that workers have also been heavily involved in this struggle, organising many general strikes, and port workers and other transport workers certainly have done that, as well as suffering the consequences of the repression, especially migrant workers that were working in Yemen. But one sector that's been really really organised and has done some great work, the garbage collectors in Yemen, who have often been seen as the bottom of the of society as well. And if you go to our website, there's a very, very interesting article to the fight that workers, the garbage collectors, have actually done, and all the things they've won, and how they've actually been uniting communities, because obviously taking out the garbage and collecting garbage is very much a an issue that affects everyone in the community. So I really recommend everyone to go to our website AAWL and actually look at the Yemen story, to look at what the garbage collectors have done.
And then speaking about West Asia, the USA's invasion of Iraq did not signal the end of repression for workers, and instead gave rise to even more brutal attacks. The oil industry, which is the backbone of the Iraqi economy, means that the workforce of that particular industry always comes under pressure and attack from various governments. While direct assassinations of trade union activists is not currently happening, the Iraqi oil unions are under relentless attack via the imposition of fines, forced demotions, and the relocation of union officials. There's currently a solidarity appeal to call on the Iraqi government to stop the harassment, and there's a link to that on our website. But I think those particular stories, the ones from West Asia, where what we're actually trying to do is look at the strength of the workers' movement and see where workers are resisting. I actually think that is the missing answer to the current situation in Syria.
Yes, I totally agree. And it's very much in terms of actually how you frame it, because I was actually having a debate with another activist about the uprising in West Asia and North Africa as well. And basically this person was sort of looking, oh, it's against racism, marginalization, oppression and whatever. And I said, well, they're all class issues and it's about poverty and blah, blah, blah. And it's interesting how people often don't frame it and then don't see it. And then when And then, of course, they then totally disregard workers' organisation and workers' uprising. And I think you're totally correct. I think the descent into terrible chaos that's happening in Syria at the present moment, the fact there is no clear-cut worker side. I think there are. I think from the little that we hear, there are workers' organisation involved in there. But, you know, I think we'll, you know, it's a really dire situation. And again, it shows the importance of having an independent working class organisation. And which then takes us to the last of our mini news items, which we'll look go to Turkey, where we've reported, in the last few months, possibly in the last year, we reported lots of news about the aviation industry around the region and all the attacks, whether it's the Philippine Airlines, whether it's Qantas, whether it's Japan Airlines, the workers have been attacked, or Garuda Airlines. And the Turkish aviation workers are now facing new proposed new laws by the Turkish government that will practically ban the right to strike and any kind of independent organising. Last week, the airline workers went out on a series of mobilizations around the country to protest against this. And Turkish Airlines reacted to this by dismissing 300 of these workers who participated in these rallies. So really, again, it just shows you how hard the fight is becoming and how our right to organize and look after our rights is really under attack. And there is, if you want to go information, there is a solidarity appeal. You can go to our website and you'll find the links. But of course, Giselle, the best way for solidarity for airline workers, and I think, you know, the maritime industry has shown this, is really to take industrial action over many countries.
Well, I was about to mention, Pierre, that story of the airline workers in Turkey really can't be looked at in isolation. The airline industry as a whole, right across the world, is in such a state of industrial activity. And I think on some fronts, we're stronger than in other fronts. Now, of course, we have our ongoing campaign and solidarity with the workers at Philippines Airlines, which hasn't been decided yet. So, yes, the fight is still intense. The government's not, or PAL, the Philippines Airlines, is not moving, and neither is a union. So they're still staying strong, holding strong with their demand, and the strike continues, or the lockout.
Mm-hmm.
So the airlines dispute in Turkey really should be seen in that context. And of course, the task ahead of us is connecting those and creating a broader campaign.
A broader front, that's right. And also to make sure that people realise how the industry works. I mean, the aviation airline is obviously one that can easily globalise. If people think, you know, planes fly everywhere, crews stay anywhere in the world, the food can be gotten anywhere, maintenance can be done anywhere. Really, basically, only refueling is possibly the only thing that needs to have, you know, a physical basis. And so to even then try to have, I think, you know, these days we've got to say it, you know, to try to keep to these national boundaries when the system is international, I think you sort of like fighting with one hand behind your back, and you're sort of going, oh, I wonder why I'm not really in the fight there. You can go, well, you know, there's allies there that you need to unite, because the company is certainly international. They have no problem with that.
Well, it's 13 minutes past 9 o'clock here on Asia Pacific Currents on Community Radio 3CR. I'm going to go do some community announcements. And when we return, we'll have that interview with Farouk Tariq. Of course, listeners, Radiothon is coming up, and next week is our Asia Pacific Currents Radiothon show. So please tune in and please donate generously. And I'm going to play some announcements about Radiothon right now.
Hi, Bob.
Howdy, Lizzie.
You sound pretty pleased with yourself.
I am. I'm now a stock market player. I've bought shares in Fairfax, Austereo, Triple M, Sony, 3XY. I got the idea from you. I'm investing independently in radio.
Oh, no, Bob. I said you should invest in radio independence.
What's the difference?
The effects of staying awake listening to radio for 123 hours, I suspect. Didn't you get anything at all from that 3CR radio you listened to?
I sure did. Now I understand feminism, the global financial crisis, what's happening to the polar bears, the military-industrial complex, and some phrases in Palestinian, Greek, Macedonian, Ethiopian.
But not how simple it is to invest in radio independence. Oh, Bob. Just log on to the website at 3cr.org.au or give them a call on 9419 8377 during office hours. Come on, Bob. I'll take you out for a coffee. I think you should be seen out in that new dashiki.
Freedom, freedom. This year is the 20th anniversary of the introduction of mandatory detention for all asylum seekers who arrive in Australia by boat.
On Sunday, June 17, the Refugee Advocacy Network is calling on refugee rights supporters to join together and send a clear message to the government that it's time to end mandatory detention.
The World Refugee Day rally will begin at 12 p.m. at the State Parliament House on Spring Street and will march to Fitzroy to join the Emerge Multicultural Festival.
For more info, visit www.refugeeadvocacynetwork.org. The Refugee Advocacy Network, a 3CR supporter.
Way, long way from my home.
Just on 9:15, you're listening to Asia Pacific Currents, the program of Australia Asia Worker Links, bringing you the news of the labour movement in the Asia Pacific region here on your favourite community radio station, 3CR Radio, and we're on Radiothon time. So don't forget, if you like what you hear, donate money. But we get to our main news item for this week. And as the news stories we brought you just before, we talked about workers organising under different conditions. Well, the next story that I want to bring you is where workers organising in extremely difficult condition. That's in Pakistan, where not only there's a lot of poverty, a lot of government repression, but now in the last few years, the government has actually started using the anti-terrorism laws against workers, and there's been some terrible cases of workers, as we've reported before, being sentenced to 60 and 80 years for the actions. So I caught up with Farooq Tariq, who is on the executive committee of the Pakistan Labour Party, and I think the quality is not the best of the interview, but I think you'll certainly understand what's been said.
Farooq, can you tell us when the present anti-terrorist laws were brought in Pakistan and why?
The anti-terrorist laws were brought by Mian Nawaz Sharif government from 97 to 99. And at that time, they said that there are not many speedy trials in Pakistan and courts takes a lot of time. And these courts will be very speedy, and those heinous crimes must be charged under anti-terrorist laws. And at that time, it was not used really against the political activists, but mainly against hardline criminals. And it was not yet the issue of religious terrorism, which was used later. And these laws continued under General Musharraf from 99 till 2009, when he was forced to leave the power. And later, this present PPP government, the Pakistan People's Party government, has continued. But during Musharraf period, these anti-terrorist laws were used against political activists, against lawyers' movement. I was also charged in 2007 under these laws. And but in the recent times, it's been normally used against political activists and trade unionists.
You mentioned that one of the reasons these laws were brought in for quicker trials. So are there same guarantees of civil rights, human rights guaranteed under these laws? Or is it basically become you get charged and you'll get convicted?
Normally, when you are charged, you are understood to be convicted in these courts. It's very difficult that these courts are taking all the measures which are required to do a just justice. And it was used very often against the lawyers and political activists. but most of the lawyers and political activists got acquitted from these courts because of the pressure of the movement. But normally there are not many aspects of justice which are taken care in the period, which is normally 4 or 5 months at the maximum, and then you get the sentence.
And recently, it's, as you mentioned, these laws are now being used against workers and trade union activists. And of course, a few years ago, 6 trade union activists from Faisalabad actually got convicted and got given very heavy sentences for basically asking for better wages and conditions.
That's right. It was 2010 when workers went on a strike for better wages, and these were from textile and power loom sector workers. And so some of these workers were charged later under terrorist laws, and the result was that in 2011 they got 590 years in sentence in total. Not only Faisalabad workers, but there are 12 workers in Karachi, textile workers, who last month got charged under these laws. In Lahore, the Pearl Continental Hotel, the 5-star hotel workers, when they formed a union, they were charged. And in another town called Vihari, where ordinary people went on the streets against the load shedding of electricity, they were charged under these anti-terrorist laws. So it is very often used, on the discretion of a police officer, and he doesn't take any legal advice that if he should include these sections in the police investigation report or not. Normally you bribe police and then they charge you, or the bosses bribe the police and they charge you under anti-terrorist laws. But what does it mean when you are charged under anti-terrorist laws? That means you can't be released normally on bail. Bail are very seldom accepted. And within few months, and you have to prove that you are not guilty. It's not the state who should prove you are guilty. You have to prove. And it's very difficult trial, and it's heavily guarded, and all these judges got very special perks and concessions. So these are very privileged judges who are working in these anti-terrorist courts.
The effect of the sentences against the Faisalabad 6 must have had a devastating effect on workers, because their struggle as garment power loom workers not only was quite heroic, but was relatively successful as well.
Yes, the struggle in Faisalabad by the textile workers are going on. Faisalabad is the third largest city of Pakistan. It's a textile city, a lot of power loom workers. And these workers were like the... They did not have any trade union. So in 2004, they started joining Labour Commie Movement, a community-based trade union which we initiated at the time. And now thousands of workers are member of this organization, and they come out in thousands, and we have a very large meetings. And that's why the politicians from the capitalist parties are terrified by the growing power of the working class in that city. So they are trying to suppress the movement by these police cases under anti-terrorist code. It's not only this case. There are dozens of other police cases against the workers in that city. So we are very often in the courts to defend our workers against these police cases.
And what has been the effect on organizing the workers? The fact that people have been basically put in jail for the rest of their lives.
Yes, that's their intention. We have gone to Lahore High Court, and the bail appeal at Lahore High Court is still to be heard. But the effect of this was, the immediate effect when the sentences were announced were quite disappointing. Workers were really not happy and so on. So then to counter this mood of demoralization, We organized a mass meeting. We worked hard for a month, and we had over 5,000 workers who said we are all like the Faisalabad 6. So the mood changed and the struggle continued. And we are winning several struggles in this city despite all these police cases. We are the force of the working class of the city.
That sounds fantastic, Farooq. And in other parts of Pakistan, what's the situation? Because obviously Karachi is the biggest city in Pakistan. And like you said, the Pearl Hotel workers fought very long to have a union. And now a lot of them are facing these same anti-terrorist laws.
That's right. But that's in Lahore. The Pearl Continental Hotel workers are in Lahore. Also in Karachi, another five-star hotel in Karachi workers, Continental workers, the same chain but on a different name, they formed a union and they had to fight 4 years that their union should be recognized by the administration. They are still fighting for that. And also in Karachi, the workers are divided into linguistic lines. There are Urdu-speaking workers, there are Balochis, there are Punjabis and Sindhi workers. Unfortunately, working class is divided in that city. And we are doing our best to organize the working class on class line rather than on linguistic or other communal-based or religious-based lines. And in this last month, 12 workers from textile sector, when they organized a mass rally of the working class in their industrial area, 12 of them were arrested under anti-terrorist laws. We immediately mobilized all the social activists, political activists, and we sent a lot of letters internationally for international solidarity campaign. And the judges also got, I think, some of the feedbacks. So in one of the rare cases, the 12 workers' bail was accepted by the judge, and now they are not in jail, but the court proceeding will continue despite the initial victory of having them released on bail.
Well, Farooq, that sounds like that's a fantastic effort, and you've given a very good picture of how hard some of the organizing and how hard the Pakistani state is trying to repress workers' organizations. We'll certainly keep our listeners up to date, and we certainly wish you all the best, and we will do as much as we can to keep publicizing and being solidarity with workers in Pakistan.
Thank you very much for your solidarity. We needed it, because the working class struggle is the same everywhere in the world.
Well, we certainly could not but agree with Farooq's last words there, that the international working class is the same all around the world, and our struggle is your struggle. That was Farooq Tariq, who's on the executive committee of the Pakistan Labour Party, or I think it's the Labour Party of Pakistan, talking about the worker struggle in Pakistan, but specifically about the use of anti-terrorism laws to try and break the organising of workers in Pakistan. It's just on 28 past 9 o'clock here on 3CR Radio. The last announcement that we have is the World Refugee Day is coming, and there are rallies all around Australia. And so it's 20 years too long, March to end the mandatory detention of refugees. It was implemented 20 years ago by the Labor government, and it's about time, given that Labor government is in power, it's about time they actually rescinded it. The rally here in Melbourne is on Sunday, the 17th of June, so Sunday week, 12 p.m. at Parliament House, March to Festival at Fitzroy Town Hall. And if you want to see the rallies in the other cities around Australia, just go to our website. But that's all the time that we've got for. Don't forget the Radiothon. This is Radiothon Fortnight for 3CR Radio. We've got our own target. The station's got its own target. If you like what you hear, if you want us to stay on air, donate money, $5, $10, $20, $50, $100, whatever you want. We'll be very, very happy. But you've been listening to Asia Pacific Currents, brought to you every week by Australia Asia Worker Links. You can go to our website, www.aawl.org.au. Stay tuned for the Connolly Association straight after this program. But that's all from me, Pierre Morrow.
And me, Giselle Hannah.
This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.